Baruch HaBayim, good evening. Share number 50. We're continuing with Ashrei.
Jubilee.
That's right. Tetzav of Iyar. Last night was the 29th of the Omer. Last week we discussed a idea from Ashrei that even though a person might not be physically in the Beis Medrash the whole entire day, however, Hashem views it where his heart, where his mind is. If he wants to be in the Beis Medrash, even though he's in his office, he's on the plane flying for a business trip, wherever it might be, taking care of the kids, but he wants to be in the Beis Medrash, Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha Od Halucha Sela. It is viewed as if Hashem looks at this person as if he is in the Beis Medrash. That was one main message from last week. Tonight, continuing along with Ashrei, in the blue Chaim Shlomo Siddur from the Art Scroll, it's found on page 30, line number 12. In the regular Art Scroll Siddur, Hebrew English, page 66. We have here the Gemara which we mentioned last week, Gemara in Brachas Daf Dalet on Beis, that says that whoever mentions, whoever repeats, whoever says Ashrei three times a day is Muftach Lo Yishuhu Ben Olam Haba. Is a haftach, a promise. He's a man and for the world to come. Rav Chaim Friedlander Zatzal, he explains, not only is he going to be a person who in the world to come will have this promise, he will be there, he will be in the world to come, but in this physical world, he lives a life of spirituality. So we ask the question, how is it by saying these words that he has this easy pass? Yeah, I like those easy passes. 50 miles an hour, don't have to slow down even. You know, go slow down from 65 to 50, but don't. Go straight through. And the kids ask, where was it? How do we just go? Straight through. Muftach Lo Yishuhu Ben Olam Haba. How is it? What is it? So we mentioned, because it's the words that he says, he internalizes the message. And tonight we're going to bring out another main message of what is the message of Ashrei. What is the lesson of Ashrei coming to teach us? That this person who repeats and says, he understands the Ashrei, he has a share in the world to come. He has a promise that he will be there. So we begin Ashrei, as we mentioned, with two psukim, which introduce us to this praise, this kapitel tehillim. Ashrei yoshvei veisecha, oid haluch hasela, praiseworthy are those who dwell in your house continually, on a regular basis, we learned last week. They will praise you, Selah, forever. Ashrei Yom Shekachaloi. Praiseworthy is the people, Shekachaloi, that such is their lot. Ashrei Yom Shehashem Leikov. Praiseworthy, once again, the third Ashrei, is the people that Hashem is their God. Rav Schwab Zitzal, in his Sefer, explains that these three Ashreis, they correspond, they can be understood by the Tefillah of Moedim. We say in Tefillah of Moedim, let's turn in the blue Siddur to page 58. Just to keep it easier with the numbers over there. Blue Siddur, page 58, line number 10. Excuse me, line number 7. Page 58, line number 7, we say as follows, in the Moedim, Tefillah of Moedim, of thanking Hashem, we say, Noida lecha, Noida, thank you Hashem, when the Sabbat tilasecha, I will speak of your praise, al chayena mesur miyadecha, al chayena, our life, which is mesur miyadecha, which is in your hands, it's given over to you, va'al nishmaseinu, habkudo isloch, our souls, which is also by you, va'al nisecha, the miracles, that are with us all day. God performs miracles for us which we don't even realize. How many times, as we mentioned in the past, do we see those near misses? I told you I saw one just a few months ago right here on the corner of Loving Mill and Montgomery. A green light, one person had the green light, one person had the red light, they would, you know, it's finishing his turn. And I'm telling you, I don't know to this day how obviously Hashem got involved. And I thought I was going to see one of the worst things. And they just went right around each other. Nisecha, the miracles Hashem performs for us. Shebechol yom imon, Hashem is with us at all times, every single day. Now, v'al niflei secho, v'toy v'secho, shebechol eis. The wonders and the good, shebechol eis, that is at all times, Hashem is with us. Erev, evening, v'vayker, morning, v'tzaharay, and noon. Rav Schwab says that a person's life can be understood also in these three ways. Once again, he's explaining the three ashrays. We start off the whole Tehillah of David with the three ashrays. A person, unfortunately, as we know, life has it that sometimes things don't go well. Sometimes it's the Erev, the evening, the darkness. This world is called Alma de Shikra, the false world. The dark world, because things are dark, it's unclear, we don't understand things, we don't see things well. Person gets older sometimes, and his faculties are not able to function like they used to. Financially, things that sometimes a person's life, whatever the down part in a person's life what might be, is compared to, is referred to as the Erev, the evening, the darkness. You know, imagine you put the dollar in the lottery machine, excited for the Powerball. So, as you go pull it out, what happens? Half the ticket comes out. The numbers are split down the middle.
The winning numbers.
The winning numbers, of course. And you look at it, and you're thinking, like, it couldn't be worse. It just couldn't be worse. The evening, this is the Erev. The part in a person's life when just things just... no matter what happens, everything goes wrong.
So is that the reason why, like we say, Urachum, before we say Baruch Hu during Marit, because we're asking Hashem, because the evening represents danger, so we're asking Him to
have mercy on us.
Yeah, mercy on us, and not mete out all the punishment we deserve at one time.
That's definitely a nice pshat. I know the Torah discusses, explains why we say Urachum, but that's definitely a nice pshat as to. Maybe you should sit here.
It's not mine.
The bottom of the article?
No, it's not. I heard Rabbi Wine say it.
Rabbi Wine
said it. It's Rabbi Wine, he was repeating somebody else.
Very nice. So that the Hashem should have mercy. We're asking Hashem to have mercy on us in the evening time. That's a nice prayer. That's the first stage we're referring to. The Erev. When things just go bad. This is also, before we go to the next step, on a person, when he dies. So what happens? The goof goes into the ground, the body goes into the ground, into the grave. The neshama separates, and both of them are being cleansed. The body rots, the neshama goes to its place, where Hashem says it deserves to be in. And it also goes through the cleansing process. A lot of Tide, a lot of whisk, and a lot of bleach. Depending on each person. According to what his actions were in this world. And after the body decomposed and cleansed itself, then you have the biker, the morning, when things start looking good again. The morning, the biker, as we said in the Tefillah Samoidim, Erev Vavoyker, evening and then morning. Now we're talking about a time when things are getting better. He puts the dollar in, the whole ticket comes out. The whole lottery ticket. And instead of getting all the numbers, he's got 3-4 digits. He gets $10,000-$15,000. Right? He gets excited. When's the last time he won? Never. He tells all his friends about it. They don't believe it. Who believes somebody when they wins a lottery ticket, right? No one believes anybody. This is biker, the cleansing process, the next step. This is the introduction to tzaharayim, the third step, the third stage, the third ashray of tchiyas hameisim, the ultimate, when things have now reached the best they can be. He puts the dollar in, he gets the whole ticket out, and gets every single number. Sounds good, right?
Yes.
Now that's just in the physical sense. In the spiritual sense, it's even much better because it's netzach netzachim, it's eternal. The reward in the world to come is eternal. So says Rav Schwab, he compares it to the three times of the person's life, as we mentioned, when he gets a little older, he finds eventually things don't look so good. But nonetheless, at those times, in the Erev, in the evening, what does he do? He thanks Hashem. Let's keep this in mind, because this is the theme of Ashrei. This is the reason why the Gemara in Brachos tells us a person who recites Ashrei properly is Muftach Lo Yishu Ben Olam Haba. Will have this promise. He is a man for the world to come. Things are going bad for him. Now what happens? Noyde Lecha. He thanks Hashem. Then comes Biker. Then comes the morning. Things are getting better. And what does this person do once again? Noyde Lecha. He still thanks Hashem. Why would he still? He could look at it another way. Why are things not better? Why does this person have more than me? He's happy with his lot. And then at Saharayim. Then things are as good as they can be, and he thanks Hashem, he appreciates what Hashem gives him. The theme of Ashrei is that no matter what the situation is, he's thanking Hashem. What are the next two words? What is the next word? The next two words. Tehillah l'David. Who was the one who put together this capital, this chapter? Who wrote it? David HaMelech. What was his life? Before he was a king, they thought he was a mamzer. They thought he came from an incorrect union. He comes, Shmuel HaNavi comes to choose him, to pick him, anoint him as king. His brothers can't believe that's the one. They can't believe it. He's asked, Yishai is asked, do you have any more sons? They can't imagine it's David HaMelech, the one out there with the sheep, not him.
So they said he's not a mamzer because...
Well, he's not, no.
He's not a mamzer.
But they thought there was...
Because it came from a Moabite woman, not a Moabite man.
There's a whole discussion. We don't want to get into that now. But no, that's fine. It's always good to have your insights. What happened next? He becomes king. The tzaddik that he was, Shaul HaMelech, was a tzaddik that we'll never be able to understand in this world. But yet... His father-in-law wanted to kill him. He's a king now. He kills Goliath. He didn't become the king yet even. He was becoming the king. And his father-in-law is after him. This is just little pieces in David Melech's life. Anybody ever thought they had things bad, going bad? Let's think about David Melech's life. His father-in-law wants to kill him. He runs for his life. He gets married. He has children. And his son. He had sons that were after him as well. Any place he turned, he had tzaros. And what did he say? What was his response? Erev v'voikev et tzaharoim. No matter what the situation was, Ashrei. David HaMelech, Tehillah leDavid, a praise. David HaMelech is praising Hashem, no matter what the situation was. There's a story which we've mentioned in the past. I think it's appropriate to mention again. Rav Chatzkel Abramsky was thrown into Siberia. One of the big doylem, big tzaddikim, Tamei Chachamim of the previous generation. Siberia was no nice place to be in. He was stripped of his kashrus, no kosher food, stripped of his tefillin, couldn't fulfill his mitzvah tefillin, Shabbos, whatever you might think, any aspect of Jewish identity was taken away from him. And he said, why am I alive? If I can perform the mitzvahs, God created me to fulfill His commandments. And if I can't perform His mitzvahs, why do I have to be here? What's, not why to be here, There's no purpose for my existence. That's what he thought. Until he said, no. He was wrong. His tefillin they took away. He can't physically put on his tefillin. He can't keep Shabbos. They force him to mechallel Shabbos. They force him to make sure that whatever mitzvah he wanted to do, he couldn't do it. The suffering he was going through, they couldn't strip him of one thing. His emunah, his belief in God. That, he said, they can't take away from me. Chabakuk the Navi tells us, the Gemara in Makos tells us that he came along and said that he takes all of the mitzvahs, all 613, and they rest on this one mitzvah of emunah, of belief in God. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, it's for good. The Gemara in Brachos tells us, and the Gemara in Psachim, that this world is not like the world to come. In this world, when things go bad, there's a halacha. We say, Dayan Emes. The next world, we won't make that bracha. Next world, everything will be good. We'll see it as good. And the Gemara says, the halacha is, that if we make the bracha, that a person will say, you know what? I know God is doing everything good for me, so I'm going to make the bracha that everything is good here in this world. When something goes wrong, it's an incorrect bracha. A person can't do that. Step one is we are in a world where things don't always look good. But step two is to realize it is good, even though we don't realize it. Now, I'm about to tell you a personal story. It happened to me. So, part of the problem is that, I mean, there's obviously Baruch Hashem good parts to it, but it's no main clincher, like, wow, you know. But, okay. We'll go to a story afterwards. This past summer, almost a year ago, I was in a certain town trying to squeeze through a double parked car, a parked car on the side over there on my left. There's a parked car on my right. Squeezing through, going slowly. And all of a sudden I see on my left another car just coming. And he came. And we were very close, and he hit my car. So, he runs out, screaming right away. Don't you realize I have the right of way? What are you doing? No, he's coming out of the spot. So I guess he never learned that a person going straight has the right of way. Okay. My tire was slashed. It turned out the axle was broken as well. I was amazed how just a little touch like that could do so much damage. And he's telling me, drive the car. Okay, fine. Make a long story short, because it was a long day. Let me tell you. I had a lot of tsars with this person. Things could have been so simple, but okay. Baruch Hashem, the car got fixed a few days later. Less than even, I think it was a week before Rosh Hashanah, maybe around that, I'm not sure exactly. The car had to be unloaded. There were some groceries in the car, same minivan. And there was a puddle on the sidewalk. So I figured instead of me going around all the time, I'll move the van up a drop. And I went to go and continued unloading all the groceries. It's around 12 o'clock, Thursday night. Food's getting finished. It's finishing cooked for Shabbos. I just sat down on the couch. I wasn't cooking so much. I was trying to help a little. Sat down on the couch. All of a sudden, I heard a smash, this loud, loud sound. I can't describe it. And I thought, what was that? I looked outside. I see this person like in a daze. I see his car is smashed on the left side, on the right side, and it looks like someone just hit him and drove off. So I tell this to my wife, open the door, go out. comes out. I said, "Are you okay?" Mistake number one, and I know I'm on tape, and whoever hears it, make sure you call the police right away. Okay, fine. I thought someone hit him and drove off. He says to me, "Yeah, I was driving down, and it was raining, it's pouring rain. We're outside now." He said to me, "He hit that car up there." I'm thinking, "Oh, poor Jim. Jim's my neighbor. He lives right next door to me." It's like, "I hit that car right over there." So, "Jim, you know what Jim, this car?" He said, no, the car over there. That was mine. The same exact spot where a few weeks earlier I was hit. The car was totaled. Put the story aside, Baruch Hashem, I have a new car, I have a new minivan. I had to, they gave me very, very little for what I, for the 94 Voyager that I had at the time. Baruch Hashem, I have a functioning car now. Bli'ayin hara. Why did everything happen? I have not the foggiest idea. Well, but it didn't come for free. But you're right. It's true. Because when I use it, it's a much better car now. It's bigger, no question about it. I happen to agree with you. So, my wife wants to say it's because that car wasn't going to go anyway. So now the $2,500 we got for it was a gift from Hashem. Because if that car would have just died, that's it. We would have been out of nothing. At least this way, as Simcha's telling us, I have $2,500 to go to this minivan.
Something bad would have happened to you in the old one.
No, chas v'shalom. Anything's possible, but...
That's why you had to replace it.
Well,
you didn't.
God told you this one?
Yes, you didn't heed God's word the first time it got hit.
I don't know.
Worth less.
Okay, that's one interpretation. I'm not as great to interpret, but the point is to bring in time together is that there were a lot of difficulties with renting a car and this and that. Insurance, of course, insurance is that dirty word no one wants to hear. And they weren't so helpful. There was a story that took place, I believe it took place in Eretz Yisrael, with a different type of car accident. This is set up from Yitzchak Zilberstein, Rav of Ramat Al-Chanon in Eretz Yisrael. One car hits another car. An accident, let's call Shimon. Shimon was in the car that got hit. He now misses his flight. Which things sound very bad. He is supposed to go on a trip. He has an important reason, obviously, to fly. He gets in a car accident. He misses his flight. What happens to that plane? It crashes. The plane crashes. True story. I told you my story just to tell you how we go through life, we live things we don't always see, we don't always know, sometimes people. But we don't always know why anything happens, why everything happens. Here's a story where this person had the benefit to find out that his life was saved because he was in a car accident. Before he found this out, imagine what he was thinking. He was in a car accident. This is one of the worst things that could happen. We had the story with my friend Brian. As we remember, when he was running across the street and that car, when he was around 16 years old, 17 years old, the car hit him and he went flying and he fell and he thought his back was broken, and this was a turning point in his life, because now that his leg was broken, he wasn't able to go back to football practice in Stuyvesant High School in Manhattan. What happened? He joined a Jewish youth club. He is today the head of a department in the Orthodox Union, the Kashrus organization, the OU. Today he is a Talmud Chacham. And when he was hit by that car, he was not saying, "Thank you!" But let me tell you, this was today, as he comments, the best day of his life. Because it turned his whole entire life around. By that youth, Jewish youth group, he met his future wife as well. So when he was smashed in the legs by that car and the lady tried to drive off, didn't seem like a good situation. That's what David Melch is telling us in Ashrei. Tehillah le David, no matter what the story is, Erev v'vaykev et zaharayim, Erev, when things look gloomy and bad, you try to pull that lottery ticket and the whole thing rips to shreds. Vayikar, things are getting better in Zaharayim, things Baruch Hashem are doing great, no matter what the situation is. And when things are doing great, this is one of the hardest times to thank Hashem. Because a person will say, it's me. It's all me. It's my intellect, it's my wealth, it's my strength. I'm the one who's successful because I'm so great. That's Zaharayim. That's when things are doing great. The Ashrei is divided into two sections. The first section from Ashrei until, from Tehillah David until Paseach Es Yadecha. Go back now to page 30 in the blue sitter, in the regular sitter, page 66. Page 30, line number 15, from Tehillah David all the way down to Paseach Es Yadecha, a line page 32, line number 6, Rav Schwab explains, all the way to page 32, line number 6, Rav Schwab explains that Ashrei, that part of Ashrei, is referring to Olam Haba, the world to come. From Paseach Es Yadecha until the end is referring to this world. This world is how we see it. Yes. Sure. Please.
Okay. So we say that saying Ashrei three times a day merits a person to the world to come.
Promise. It's a promise.
Promise is...
It's a little stronger than just merit.
It's very strong. The actual Tehillim really starts with Aramivcha.
Well...
You know, like after Tehillah lived to be... In other words, if
right.
a person said this... From after Tehillah LeDavid, from the Aleph all the way through to the end. To the end.
Right. What he merited as well, you want to know?
Yeah.
What, like his sitter was missing those words?
Well, not exactly what I mean. In other words, some people would especially in women's Tehillim groups, you know, or if they're reading Tehillim on their own, may actually just read the from Aramimcha all the way.
Well, I hear you're asking if
there's three lines, but there's what you're saying is. There's so much meaning in those first three lines
right.
of the Ashrei.
This message, Ashrei. Right. So I hear your question. So the Women's Tehillim group is great. It should continue going. And they're doing wonderful work. But specifically, we mentioned a little about this last week, that this that the Gemara says, that the person has a share in the world to come, it promises him a share in the world to come, is because it refers to the Shachris that he says it twice,
right.
and the Mincha. That's what the Gemara is referring to.
Okay.
So in the Tehillim, the person who's saying Tehillim and listening up to the words of Tehillim, he's also doing fine.
Okay.
But the promise is specifically referred to. The message here is, let's speak it out very clearly, the message is that the person is living with God, with the Emunah, with the belief in Hashem, no matter what the situation is. You, Hashem, are doing the right thing. You are in charge. Everything Hashem did is for the good. Everything Hashem does is for the good. And that is the message, that is a main message of Ashrei over here. No matter what the situation is, Rav Chavsko Abramsky was stuck in Siberia, and he said, no, they can't strip me of my emunah, of my belief in Hashem. It's a message that we have to try to instill in ourselves, and try to instill in our family that this is what the Ashrei, this is what Hashem wants from us. That's why Chazal tell us, the Sfarim tell us, that this is the focal point, the main point of the whole entire Pesukei Dezimra. This is one main reason. The Gemara says because it has the Aleph Beis, and because it has Paseach HaSidecha, and Rav Schwab is coming to explain to us because one main message of the Ashrei, as can be seen, b'chol yoyim avarchecha, I will bless you every day. Godol Hashem, mehula ma'ayid, Hashem is great. His character traits are awesome. Godol refers to, as our Shabbat tells us, is chesed. Hashem's kindness is great. We'll be with you in a second. We said when we learned Ma'ida Ani, I think around 49 Shurim, well, probably on 47 Shurim ago, that one main message of Ma'ida Ani, as we discussed, one main message was and is that our neshama goes up to Hashem at night. Our soul, when we go to sleep at night, goes up to Hashem. And Hashem says, did you fulfill your task in this world today? And how many of us, please do not raise hands, how many of us can say yes? And if the answer was not 100%, we really don't have that right to get the neshama back. God is the King. What do we do to deserve it? This is not my explanation, but this is brought down basically from the Zohar HaKadosh. Hashem says, I give it back to you anyway. And the Mefarshim explain, the commentators explain, that if we had this mindset that Hashem, we should deal with people the same way Hashem deals with us. Hashem says, you didn't fulfill your job, but I still give you another chance. So we start the day, Ma'id Ani Lefanecha. Thank you, Hashem, for giving my neshama back. If we can realize that when we deal with people, they might have done something wrong to us also. But nonetheless, Hashem gave us our neshama back. Did we fulfill our job to Hashem? I will also give this other person another chance. And the person will say, wait, I did it for him yesterday. Why should I do it? Well, Hashem did it for us yesterday also. The same way we deal with people, Hashem will deal with us. We want our neshama back. So we come to over here. This is the main message of Ashrei, according to Rav Shual. The Emunah, that's why he has this Haftacha, a promise that he will have this share in the world to come. Because he lives, he doesn't just read the words, but he takes the message of what Ashrei is telling us. Toiv Hashem lakol, Hashem is good to all. Verachamov, as we say in line number 11 to 12 on page 31, that Hashem is good to all, Rachamov, His mercies, Al Kol Ma'asov, on all of His Ma'asov, whether it's the tiny little gnat, the butterfly, the elephant, whatever it might be, and every single creation. Toiv Hashem La'kol, Hashem is good to all. The merciful God. Zev, you had a question?
Yeah, what happened to me?
Here's our Gemara cup. You asked the Gemara's question. Nun is not here. The Gemara discusses, and that is not for tonight's class. Mr. Shem will get that next week. Nun is not here.
I thought it was my...
You were looking for it. You thought maybe they had a sitter like Simcha was talking about. They left it out, right?
Yeah,
exactly. The Aleph and the Nuns. Yeah. It's another story that took place in around the year 1800. The Rav was the great Rav Kiva Eger Zatzal. There was a fire that destroyed many homes. They had to rebuild them. Rav Kiva Eger, he made sure to tell everybody that the contractors cannot work on Shabbos. And they all agreed. Except for one person. Who was this one person? Who would not listen to the Rav? How could anybody not listen to Rav Akiva Eger? Well, because he was the wealthy man in town. So he thought he was in charge. The townspeople could not believe it. But the house, not by Jews, but the house is being built on Shabbos as well. This wealthy man figured he's going to make a gorgeous house, built it up, and they're working on Shabbos also. Rav Akiva Eger told them, it's not going to happen. At the end of the day, what was the conclusion? his house was infested with termites. The same wood that they got, that they built every single other house, the same lumber yard, everybody's house is fine. But the contractors couldn't understand, why this man? Why only his house? Why is his house infested? So at first glance, everybody's thinking, look at this, he's getting away with murder. His house is going to be finished. He's having this magnificent house. But no one wins the game in the third inning. Right, Simcha? See, there's 7 innings in softball or 9 innings?
Seven.
Yeah, yeah. Seven. Baseball, I'm saying. Nine in baseball. Right? That's how it works. And his house had to be torn down from top to bottom. At the end of the day, the message is that God is in charge. That God is in charge. Avinu of Rahman. God is our Father, the merciful Father. That is the message of Ashrei. There is a Chayvus HaVavus. The Chayvus HaVavus, duties of our heart. In Bachya, in Shara Vaidus Elokim, he tells us a very important message. And once again, the words I'm about to say, it's very important that a person should not take these words and apply it to someone else, but try to look at himself. And he explains as follows. Hashem runs the world by talking to us. So Zev has a direct line number. He knows why things happen. Others of us, others of us, Hashem tells us as follows. God has many servants. If a person needs a wake-up call, and he buys a palm or a cell phone, and those batteries don't work anymore, Hashem has other ways of sending the alarm to wake him up. His organs in his body, those are God's servants. And when something goes wrong in the body, it's a message from God. The Chayus HaVavus tells us Hashem is talking to us. And Hashem is saying, wake up. And then he continues the Chayus HaVavus, that if the person does wake up and cry out to Hashem and repent for his incorrect deeds, Hashem will tell his servants, back on. Duracell, Energize, whatever batteries they are, go back to work. And those organs will function once again. And at the end of time, when time comes and God says, come back to your Creator, the Chayus HaVavus tells us that there will be a big, big screen, 3D. You don't even need the glasses. And God will show us our whole entire life. God will show us somebody looks just like us. And sometimes the person who looks so much like us, God will tell us, that's you, buddy. He won't say buddy, though. And we're going to see two screens. Chayus HaVavus doesn't say all this, other Sfarim say it as well. One, a screen of things that we did do, and one, a screen of things we could have done, who we could have been, if we didn't reach out to our potential. End of Chayus HaVavus. Back to Ashrei. Tehillah with David. No matter what the situation is, David HaMelech, he is the one. His father's trying to kill him. True story. He was thought of as a mamzer by the people in his generation. His son's after his life. Tehillah with David. Aramimcha Hashem. I'll praise you, I'll bless you. God al Hashem, ulam oid. This is the message of Ashrei.